Hello, everybody, and welcome to a Declarations of War interview. I'm your host, Ninja Turtle. I'm here with someone who has been in the EVE community for quite a long time. I was going to say he's very old in the community, but I didn't want to make any quips about age. You may remember him from EVE TV, because this is the name he used there, the one and only Spiral Junkie.
Hello.
It's great to have you here, Spiral. It's weird to call you that, because they call you a bunch of things, but never really that name. It's been probably 7 or 8 years.
About that, yeah.
So I've known you for a really long time, and we went to Lions Tournament 5 together. Why don't you, for the people that are probably not old enough to remember back then, who you are, what kind of got you into EVE, and then what did you really do for EVE TV? Like, what's your claim to fame?
Well, it's a long and meandering story. I'm happy to tell it. When I first started playing EVE in 2003, maybe, I'm a little murky on the dates. I think it was late 2003 when I first started university. I had a friend who did EVE Radio, and I listened to that, and I really got into that. And I applied to do that, and I was really enjoying doing that. And I thought, this is fun, but I should really play the game that the radio station is for. So I got into that, I joined the court, we did some level 4 missions, and then about a week later is when I met you, I think.
Yeah, unforeseen development, was it?
It was.
And I do remember you as an EVE DJ. I thought you were pretty good.
Thank you. There's some controversy over that now. To continue that, I did that for a while, and I was studying drama at university, and a friend of mine, a colleague at EVE Radio, Urban Mongrel, I don't know if you can remember him, he said, "Hey guy, you've done TV before," and barefaced liar, but yeah, loads. I hadn't. He said, "Oh, we're putting together a package with CCP where we want to host an in-game tournament and then do like live coverage of it." And that kind of thing is probably quite standard now through stuff like Twitch, but at the time it had never been done before. So we're like, yeah, we'll put it together. So me and a few other EVE Radio people went over to Iceland to CCP officers, where we put together the first televised tournament, which I think, you know what, was it the third tournament? I can't remember. It was the third or the fourth or something like that.
Oh, is that the end of the story?
Well, it goes on for ages, but it gets pretty dull.
Okay. Well, it's all about who you know, right, I suppose.
That's certainly how you got out there, and the strength of your own application.
Well, it didn't take much back in those days. I mean, a YouTube video would have been like a space unicorn, you know, back then.
Yep. And now that I'm well shot of that kind of thing, I can probably say it's safe to say a lot of the people that got out there were there because they were my friends on the internet. That's probably safe to say.
Oh, yeah. It's basically the explanation I use every time someone asks about it.
Yeah, not everyone. There were some really, really good applications. For example, Verone got out there as an expert because he got pissed in a pub and said EVE TV was shit, so we had a talk for an hour and a half about it. Then I was like, let's get you out there, and so we did.
It definitely bred a lot of talent for him, too. I mean, they got so many people out of it. Big people in the community.
They did, yes. I like not to say that I'm the pioneer that put CCP on the map, but I definitely am.
It certainly helped staff him a little bit, anyways. So, I mean, gaming has always been a big part of your life. I guess, I mean, what we should really preface the show with is that it's an interview because you are setting up a new project. Maybe just for clarification's sake and just to get out of the way, do you want to talk a little bit about what you're doing? I mean, whether you want to put it in the context of ouchmyface.com or the feedback you're looking for, just frame for us what you want to accomplish here.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's... Just to correct you briefly, it's ouchmyface.org. .com was about $250, so we decided not to go for that. But I'll tell you what happened. I went to look at .com, and it was cheap, and then I didn't buy it till the next day. And by the time I got to the second day, it had been hiked up to $300, and I was like, yeah, I'm not paying that.
Oh, it is anyway. .org. I'm sorry, I don't know why I said .com.
The idea is, ouchmyface.org is going to be a collection of guides, tips and tricks, all that kind of crap. The same kind of thing you'd find maybe on something like Wowhead or something similar for World of Warcraft, except that this is going to be a broader thing for all games, all computer games. And it's aimed specifically at disabled gamers. Not any type of particular disability. Probably mostly physical disabilities, although, like we say on the website, you know, all the impairments that people have to deal with are equally valid. So it's basically just about getting people who are disabled to play computer games with people that aren't, or with whoever they want to, really.
Not that it's a very well-covered subject at all, but it is something that does have a little bit of resource out there. What are you really looking for that's going to separate you, kind of make you distinct?
Well, what we want to do is, and I know this has become a bit of a buzzword, that we want to build some kind of community where people can, the more I say this, the more awful it sounds, that people share their own stories and how they've overcome it, sort of make it more personal. So let's say somebody who's had some kind of brain injury comes to the website and says, I'm having issues because I can't do this. And then they go, well, I've had a similar issue. This is what I do. And so we build up sort of relationships in a community where people can overcome their issues with other like-minded gamers. It's about the personal touch, really.
So I'm assuming that you've gotten some feedback, whether it's for this project or just as a disabled gamer, you've interacted with the communities, disabled player communities, like between different games. I'm wondering if you've seen a difference in reaction between gaming communities. Like, I just, for some reason, I could just imagine the EVE community being less supportive, maybe, than the World of Warcraft community, just based on the harsh nature of it.
That's actually been the opposite to what I found. For example, I started playing EVE again with some friends in Rote Capel a couple of years ago, and obviously I'm playing one-handed. And there was one particular evening where somebody was looking at my fitting, and they were like, why the fuck do you have 10,000 rounds of ammunition? And I was like, because I can't split the stack, because that requires shift-clicking, I think. And everyone else on TeamSpeak really told them to get off my back, so that was quite a supportive attitude, whereas in other games, say for example I play a lot of Hon, people, whenever I say, you know, sorry that my reactions are pretty slow, and then they say, oh, what's your problem? I say, oh, well, I've got a hole in my brain the size of a golf ball, and they're like, yeah, well, fucking cripple, get off my game. But I think that's more the nature of the MOBA than that particular crowd.
Yeah, I wish I could say that League of Legends was better, but it's probably even more toxic than just based on the player group size. So it's interesting. So the EVE community has been supportive of you. Have you gotten a lot of feedback from the EVE community?
Well, I put this call out so to sort of further the question you asked earlier. What I'm trying to do is get in contact with disabled gamers and get a baseline of how they overcome their particular disability and access gaming. And most of the feedback I've had has been from EVE gamers. Over half, definitely. Because I put stuff out through you, through a friend of mine who used to work at CCP, and through a guy who's still a radio DJ at EVE Radio. So most of the feedback I've had is from EVE.
Okay, that's actually interesting. That bucks some conventions for me. Maybe I was thinking the worst of people. Anyways, I'm curious, are there games that you find are just impossible to do one-handed? Like, to what extent is this really an issue of hardware, that the hardware doesn't exist to incorporate the second hand into, you know, a mouse, so where you can access it from the first hand?
Well, before I answer that, it's probably worth saying that I'm really bad at stuff like keybinds and so on, so like binding stuff to the mouse is something I've had to learn from scratch, and I'm not very good at it even now, 3 years after I started doing it. The twitchier a game is, the harder it is. So fast FPS I tend not to be able to do. Anything that requires strafing or a lot of keyboard use. So anything that's WASD, keyboard movement, I tend not to be able to do that. Although I did play quite a lot of Portal and quite a lot of Skyrim, but that was single player stuff, so it's not quite as twitchy as competitive play.
Still play Heroes of New Earth though, huh? It's tough.
I do. But I tend to stick to sort of 2-3 button heroes, stuff that I can use the back and forward buttons on my mouse to bind to. And to be fair, I play Hon with my brothers, so they're all very understanding of the fact that I can only play to a certain level.
I want to tie into that a little bit, in with kind of a different tangent. I can speak from personal experience. I mean, I know that gaming is very much a personal identity kind of thing. You spend your time basically just crafting a double life almost in Eve. Just it runs that deep. Especially for the length of time, you know, once you get into 10 years, it's just you've created this whole other identity. Do you feel like your gaming identity changed at all after your disability compared to what it was before? I mean, did your disability affect that at all, the way you viewed your electronic self, I suppose?
I think anyone who knew me sort of prior to 2010 knew that I was quite, I don't know what the right phrase for it is, sort of sarcastic and offensive, maybe quite
jovial.
It could be that, but I've certainly become a lot more patient and tolerant since that. Not because I love all the disabled in the world, but because I understand how it can be frustrating and how I understand how easy it is to be bad at something. So specifically in a MOBA environment, when people do something awful because they're awful, just let it slide more often. That's probably the biggest change.
That's a good lesson. That's a good takeaway there. And so maybe on that same tangent, obviously gaming was maybe more than just a hobby already. If you're getting sent over, you know, you're doing the Eve Radio thing, and then to get sent over for Eve TV, I mean, maybe you'd call it a hobby. But I mean, do you think that gaming ever more to you? Was it that support structure for you when you needed it? Was it, and maybe how did it help in that way?
Support structure, I'm not so sure. It was definitely an escape, which I think a lot of gamers can identify with. It definitely was an escape. It was, for example, after my stroke, I would, you know, see my friends going out to the park with their kids or whatever, and I couldn't do that, so I'd go online and play computer games with my friends, and that was as close as I could get to doing what I wanted to do. If that answers the question at all.
Yeah, I guess it does. But it also maybe kind of highlights the lack there and what you're maybe trying to create, the void, because you say specifically that it wasn't a support structure, it was an escape, which, I mean, is in the end really, you're kind of looking for the support structure, so to try and create that community through gaming, like something that can actually maybe help alleviate problems rather than just escape from them.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Because another thing, and I'm not really here to talk about disabled rights, but another thing that a lot of people with disabilities have to deal with is depression, and so that can be a real issue. But having other people in the community that handle a lot of the same problems, so, you know, they can't move certain parts of their body and they're depressed along with it, talking to them and saying, well, I do this and I do that to change it. The support structure is definitely vital there, yes.
So then, speaking specifically to your website, what would further your guys' growth right now? What's going to push it forward?
What we're really doing at the minute is probably still just research, because we want to build a, I say we, it's mostly just me and one other person, but we want to build almost like a database of people with disabilities, and so that we can access the right people, sort of some kind of disability mentors, if that makes sense. So what we're looking for at the minute, we've got a very short questionnaire that we're sending out to people, which basically just covers, you know, what gender are you, how old are you, what's your disability, what games do you play, how do you get over your particular disabilities. We've got some really interesting answers, actually.
Like what? And anything you could say?
Well, I did say in the questionnaire that this information wouldn't be shared with people, but I think it's probably safe to say, as long as I don't give out details.
Could you give us an example, maybe an example question?
Yeah, I could. The questionnaire is very short, I could read it out. I'm just aware that my push-to-talk key is also the back key in my browser, so I have to be very careful.
Just give us one or two example questions.
Well, it just goes, age, gender, which computer games do you play, and what's your disability, how does this affect your gaming, and what measures have you taken in-game to overcome your disability? Like, specifically hardware settings, that kind of thing, really.
The hardware aspect of it is what interests me, I think, the most. because there's a lot of potential there for hardware, especially when you start incorporating partial use situations where people may have limited mobility but not completely restricted mobility, and being able to tailor hardware to those situations, and you know, somebody that has done that before, I could see. When you said database, at first I was like, oh boy. Now I understand what you mean with, you know, mentors and people that have gone through it, and there's no point in two people struggling
sometimes
through it.
Sometimes people need to be walked through systems. They need to be told, yeah, this is how you do it.
There's no need for two people to struggle through something when the first already has.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Often when I talk to people about things I have with gaming, they just go, oh, just buy a fancy mouse. Just is a word I hear a lot, but buy a fancy mouse, you know, with lots of buttons. It's not that easy. I wrote a post, it's on the website, about how I have got a fairly fancy mouse, but it's rebinding all the keys and so on. It's not just that. It's learning a whole new game when you have to do it with just one hand. So if we can take all these sort of learned lessons that other people have had to do and make them accessible to people that are now going through it, I think that's kind of what we're trying to do.
Well, that's cool. How can people get a hold of you? Just through your website?
There's contact details on the website, but just in case, the email is... Oh, hold up, it's contact@ouchmyface.org.
Ouchmyface.org.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I guess we'll wrap it up then. I want to thank you personally for coming. I mean, this is kind of an informal interview, I mean, having known each other for so long, but still I want to say thanks for coming and sharing your story. Because I know it hasn't always been the easiest thing in the world, so it's really cool of you to see, or it's really cool to see you, rather, getting this out there and spreading that message and doing something that cool for our community. So thanks for coming, man. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for the opportunity to put it out there. I'm doing something similar with Funky Bacon soon.
Well, you heard it here first. Declarations of War exclusive. Anytime you want to come back, just let me know.
I will do things. Maybe in a couple of years I'll come back and tell you how successful this has been and how I'm now CEO of a multinational company.
Well, we will be following your story very closely. I want to thank everybody for listening to this little interview we had on the off week here. We'll be back next week, Thursday, recording, so we'll see you guys shortly after then.